Praise God. God is good. All the time. Awesome. 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 How are you doing? Sorry, I just need to remember my password. Awesome, awesome. While you're standing, let's stay standing while I pray. Amen. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for the awesome, awesome, awesome anointing that you are just saturating in this place this morning. We just want to thank you for your presence, and we want to thank you just how tangible it is to all of us right now. We just pray, Lord, that as the word comes forth this morning, that you may be in the word, that you may go forth and just touch the hearts of your people, open up their ears, their eyes, their hearts to receive what you have in store. And I just pray, Lord, that as I speak, that this may just be your word that is flowing out this morning, Lord Father God. So we just pray this and we just declare that there's a blessing and gems for each and every person here in Jesus' mighty, mighty name. And everyone says, amen, 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 amen. Give the Lord a hand and you can, on your way down, you can be seated. Awesome. I hope you had an awesome, awesome week this week. It's been super busy on our side with everything that's happening around the country. I didn't realize this, but apparently if you work certain places and there's a disaster, the government can call you up and say, go and help with the disaster. And so, because I work in certain places, some of my team is whoops. And so that means there's a lot of work. But who knows? God is good. Amen. And so I'm really blessed that I get to share with you this morning. I share with you something. You know, God has a way to just use our dumbfoundedness sometimes. This morning I got to church and we did team huddle. And I realized I didn't have my notes. I left my notes at home. And so I was like, oh, okay, Marcus, don't worry. I'm going to go and pick up my notes. And went to pick up my notes. And on my way back, I see Miss Kim. And so we get to worship with Miss Kim this morning. Amen. So God has a way of just doing some crazy stuff. Amen. And so that's good. But this morning I felt like we just continue with what God is doing. Because, you know, over the past few years we've been talking a lot about the year and now. Because that's obviously our I must say vision, but that's our mandate that God has placed over the house for the year. Amen? And so I thought, you know, I'll just speak into that a little bit this morning, yeah? And so today's message is going to be, today's message is going to be called N-O-W. If you don't know what that means, it means now. Yeah, just so that we're all on the same place. Amen? And I just felt that, you know, like, we've spoken about that in order for the year now to really happen, we've got to shift our mentality about God. You know, no more waiting for God to do things when he can do things now. Amen? And that means also we've got to put our hands up. Amen? Not wait for the right opportunity or the right moment. Yeah? You all right? Yeah. Awesome. So I thought, okay, well, what we're going to do now is because, you know, sometimes we can be present in the now, but God's not just calling us to be present in the now. He's calling us to be influential in the now. Yeah? And so that's a little bit what we're going to talk about today. How do we be influential in the now? Because as a body, as a house, our mission, our vision is to influence humanity with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Right? So how do we be influential in the now? And I could have come up with 26 ways to be influential in the now, but then we'd be here till who knows what time. Yeah? So I've just chosen three that I feel fits with what we all need to do. And it just so happens that the three just happens to be N-O-W. Okay, no, that's not true. I was like, N-O-W, what three fits with N-O-W, yeah? And so that's what we're going to talk a little about today. Three steps that I feel is real influential, very basic stuff that will help us be influential in the now. And the now for all of us is not necessarily just this moment. It's your area of influence. It's where God has placed you. It's the people that is around you. Amen. So whether that is your right now moment, or whether that is your workplace, or whether that is your friends, or whether that's you gone on holiday and you're surrounded with people, whatever your now is, we need to be influential in that place, in that position. Amen? And so this is where we're gonna go from. And what my hope is that some of this will be all-knowing to us. So it's just a refresher that where God has placed you in, no matter what that situation looks like, there's an opportunity for you to be influential. And I could have chosen many, many scriptures because the Bible is filled of scriptures of people who activated or did something in the now. But I was going through this and God was just like, you know, none of the scriptures were like right. You know? Like, it just, like, God was like, that's not where I want you to go. So the ones that I took with, I felt God said, like, yes, this is the one. And part of it is because they are practical. They're not like wow moments. Yeah, they're just everyday moments. And I think, like, sometimes we over-spiritualize what we need to do for God. Yeah? And so we've got some Bible stories of how God just did some awesome stuff in the now without spiritualizing anything. Yeah? And so my hope is that we can be encouraged, that we don't have to save the world. We can just be activated or just be doing stuff, actions, in the moments where we are in. Amen? Amen? Awesome, 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 awesome. Awesome. Now, the first thing of the now that that we need is the in. Yeah? And to me, this represents recognizing a need. Now, I say these things because while God is able, he's more than capable to move without us. Don't get me wrong. If God wanted to show up here without you, he'd have church without anybody in the room. Yeah, he's God. He can do whatever he wants. But many times in the Bible, God wants to partner with us. Yeah? So there are times where he just sends fire down from heaven because he can see a need, and so he moves. And there are times where he requires us to walk around the wall 7 times before it comes crashing down. He doesn't need us to walk around the wall, but, you know, he likes to do things with us. It's all about doing things together, yeah? And so this is how we can position ourselves to be used by God in these situations. Amen? So the first one is recognizing a need. In order for us to be influential in the moment, we need to be able to recognize the need that is in that place. Now, again, it's not just this moment, right? And it could be this moment. You could be at church and you could see there's no one at the door. There's a need. Go and fill it, right? But we're talking more like the area of influence that you find yourself in, the situation that you are at. What is the need that God is placing on your heart? Now, don't get me wrong, there's going to be lots of needs that exist in a situation. Everyone's going to have a need that they need to be met. The key thing is, what need does God want you to meet in that situation? So the prayer you should be asking here is, what need does God want me to see? Yeah? Lord, open my eyes to the need that you want me to meet in this place. Because we can be anywhere and we can do a whole lot of stuff, but if the things that we are doing is not meeting needs, then it's not being as influential as if it was meeting someone's specific need. Like, we don't hear stories in the Bible of people who came to God without a need and then their non-need was met. Right? Every situation, every miracle in the Bible, there's a need that God steps in to help someone with. Yeah? And so we need to be able to recognize that need. And the scripture that I want to talk about this morning comes from John 2, verse 1 to 4. And it says, on the third day, a wedding took place in Canaan in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, they have no more wine. And then Jesus said, woman, why do you involve me? Jesus replied, my hour has not yet come. I love this scripture. I thought it was quite funny. Because for those of you that don't know, what happened is, further down the line, Jesus tells him to find these big barrels, kind of a wine drums, and fill it with water. And when they take a cup of water out, the water had turned to wine. And I thought, this is such an awesome scripture. Because if this had been 2023, the Christians would probably crucify Jesus. Because literally what's happening here is there's a party, and they've run out of alcohol, and they've gone to God and were like, we want to party more. We need more liquor. And God goes, okay, you have 7 drums full.
But this is a good way that sometimes our religious mindsets can block us from seeing a need that's presented. Because it wasn't about the liquor, it wasn't about the wine, it was about the two people getting married. Yeah? Well, another thing that I love about the scripture is the need wasn't recognized by God. Christ wasn't the one that was like, I can meet your need. It was Mary that recognized the need and went to God. And this ties into what Pastor Jay was saying this morning, right? Sometimes we need to intercede on behalf of others. Because let's be honest, non-Christians are not going to go to God for a miracle. I mean, sometimes they do when they're at the end of their rope. Yeah? But sometimes we need to intercede on behalf of others because they don't understand God the way we do. We've got the Holy Spirit that gives us some deeper insights and revelations about who God is. So when there's other people that comes in that don't have that insight because they don't have a relationship with God yet, our job can be to intercede on their behalf. Amen? And that's what Mary basically does. Just like, Jesus will help you. So we don't necessarily need to have all the answers, but we've got Jesus who is the answer. Yeah? And so Mary didn't have the answer. She was like, I don't know what to do, but I know who does. Yeah? And that should be like enough, yeah? And so for us, we need to be able to recognize the need. And sometimes the need is not going to be like we think it is. Oh, your need is prayer, brother. No, I need food. You know what I mean? Right? So we mustn't over-spiritualize the need that's presented in front of us. God places us into positions, and he usually opens our eyes to the needs around us because he's trying to get us to like, hey, this is a moment for you to do something. And it's not about us. It's about God. God gets the glory in it. Amen? He's just using us. Like I say this all the time. We are the hands and feet of God on this earth. And so to be better, the hands and the feet, we have to be able to recognize where God wants us to intervene in those situations. And so for this recognize a need, we have to go to God and say, Lord, open up my eyes to what you need me to see in this situation. Amen? And sometimes you don't even have to say something. Sometimes God will just put a need on your head and on your heart. And then you're like, ooh. Whew, Lord. Yeah? And he does that because he knows you have the ability to take the next step. Amen? So when God does put a need in your path, don't be like, okay, let me take 3 days to pray about it. Because we've prayed about it already. We've said, Lord, open up the need. Open up my eyes to the need. And then when God opens up the eyes to the need, we go, Lord, is this you opening up my eyes to the need? And then we take another 3 days to pray through that, right? And so like Mary, we've got to be able to see the need, yeah? And sometimes God will help us, and he'll open up our eyes, and he'll show us, and sometimes he won't. And sometimes that need will look different. It may not fit our spiritual mold that we've created, the box that we've kind of set aside on, this is how we should operate. Yeah? And so sometimes we just need to see a little bit beyond. And this is where the Holy Spirit is really awesome because it gives us that insight to look beyond just the physical dimensions of the need to what's actually happening on the other side. Because we don't know what's on the other person's heart. Yeah? But we can be in a position where we say, Lord, open up our eyes to the need that you want me to fill. Yeah? Amen. Because that's what it means to influence people. It's not just to be present, not just to say, God bless you, but it's to be impactful in those moments. And when we are able to move in the need of the people, then we can really be impactful. Amen? Amen. Are you all good? Ready for number two? Well, we're ready. Number two. We're almost halfway. Awesome. Number two. Identify the opportunity. Every need that exists has an opportunity for it to be met. God doesn't identify needs just so that we can observe them right? There will be some needs that you don't have the capacity to meet, right? Or it's not, God doesn't want you to intervene in those situations, in which case he's not going to press it on your heart. But for the ones that it does press on your heart, he does so because he knows, you are my child, I've placed you there for a reason. You have the capacity to meet that need. But for us, we've got to be able to recognize what that need met is, what that met need is, what that opportunity is to be met. Yeah, but a tongue twister, yeah, hey. Yeah? So if God puts something in front of you and he's really placed it on your heart, we can go and say, Lord, open up our eyes to how or what part we play in the situation. Yeah? We need to be able to see what part, what's our role in the situation. What around us? Why has God raised this to my, in my heart? Why has he placed this burden on me? And I say burden because sometimes when God places needs, there's a almost like an urgency, so it feels like a burden to kind of like activate and step out and to do something. And he does that because if he doesn't do it, then we just wouldn't probably do anything, right? So sometimes he needs to encourage us. Yeah? And so the question is, can you see the opportunity that the need presents? Let's take a look at John chapter 9, verses 5 to 7. Again, I chose this scripture because I think it's a funny one. And I think God was like, the other ones doesn't work, but here we go. While I'm in this world, I am the light of the world, God says. When Jesus had said this, he spat on the ground and made some mud and applied it to the man's eyes. Then he told him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. So the man went, washed, and he came back seeing. You all right? I'm not saying you got to spit in the mud and rub it on someone's eyes. But sometimes the opportunity that presents ourselves is much more simplistic than what we think. We just got to be open to it. Yeah, Jesus is there. There's a man, yeah. Doesn't have anything. I'll use the earth under my feet. And if you think about it, God doesn't, and I say this all the time, God doesn't place us in positions where we don't have the tools to do something about it. So our question is, how does God want me to do it? What in the environment or what in the situation can I use to step into this place, to meet this gap? And if it does mean stepping into the mud and taking the mud and smearing it on their face, then that's what it means. Don't do that. Don't say, Pastor D said, I must smear mud on your face. Amen? What I'm saying is the opportunity might not look the way it presents itself. It may not be, let's do a spiritual nice prayer. It may not be, I'll give you the $50,000 you need for the operation. It doesn't necessarily need to be some big thing, right? As believers, we need to not just be able to identify the opportunity, but we also need to identify the position or the act that God wants us to move in to meet that need. It could be just someone saying, man, I love you, brother. How are you doing this morning? Like, has it been a tough week? And just being like, can I get a real answer? Like, we don't know what that looks like, but we do need to have that sense. We need to be able to open up our ears to the Holy Spirit when he guides us to do or say something. Yeah? And then again, be bold enough to be like, ooh, I'm going to actually do that. Amen? Here's another scripture that I'm going to read. Luke 19, 2, verse 4. And Jesus looks down, used whatever... There was a man named Zacchaeus, and he was a chief tax collector, and he was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not, and therefore, because of the crowd was so large. So he ran ahead and climbed the sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming along that way. So here we have someone, and he's meeting his own need in this case. But this is what he does, is he sees a tree that probably nobody ever really like thought of, and it was like, this is an opportunity for me to use this. When God opens up our eyes, sometimes just the normal things become tools to break down barriers in people's lives. Because the miracle is not him climbing the tree. The miracle is what happened afterwards when he sat down with Jesus. But Jesus needed to get into his house first. Amen? Jesus needed to sit down and Jesus needed to get introduced to him first. Yeah? And so the need for him was, I can't see Jesus. He didn't really understand what his need was. He just knew he couldn't see Jesus. And so what God placed in his path was a sycamore tree that he climbed up, and from there onwards, the door opened up for him to encounter God. We're not always going to be the miracle hand. Sometimes we're going to be the guiding hand along the path. We're going to be that next step that leads someone to the miracle that's awaiting for them on the other side. We shouldn't be afraid to be along the journey and not just at the end of the journey. Sometimes we want to do the big stuff. We want to see the end result, and that's good. But sometimes God just wants us to be a part of a journey that gets people to the end result. Amen? So if you can't see how this step is going to get me to this position, that's okay. All you need to hear is, what do I need to do in this step? And if God says, climb a sycamore tree, our response is not, a tree is not meant for climbing, Lord. Yeah? It's to be obedient when God calls. Amen? Amen? And sometimes God is going to call you to do stuff that doesn't make sense, as we saw before with spitting in the mud. And I think this is important because for Zacchaeus, the need was important. Yeah? The need to see Jesus overshadowed his, I don't say, his logical thinking. Yeah? Because like, I need to see Jesus. I can't see it. I know that in 10 minutes, Jesus is going to be gone. He's going to walk past. I'm not going to see him. So if I want to see him, I need to act now. I need to find something in my environment or in my situation that's going to help me reach that place. And so what happens is the significance of his need highlighted the magnitude of the opportunity. I said that wrong, but you get the point, right? The significance of the need determined his perception of the opportunity. So if there was no Jesus there, and there was no crowd there, the sycamore tree would just be a sycamore tree. But because there was a crowd, and Jesus was only going to walk past, that sycamore tree became the opportunity that he needed to see God. And that tree met the need, which led to his salvation. Amen? So there are some things in our vicinity, in our area, that we are so familiar with that we don't think would be what is needed. Yeah? We're so used to things as being there. We're used to the piano being there that we don't realize, oh, maybe this could be used for another purpose. I'm not saying climb the piano, but you get the point, right? We need to be able in those moments to allow the Holy Spirit to open our eyes to what we see. The Holy Spirit is what shifts and changes what we think is happening to what needs to be happening. He gives us insight. Yeah? So our prayer should be, Lord, open up our eyes to the opportunities that can meet the needs of what we need to do. Right? Whatever the opportunity may be. And you may think, well, usually in this case, I can't see, there's a lot of people, I should probably get like a ladder or something, but that wasn't what was present. So there's always going to be a way for us to meet a need, even if we don't see the traditional way to meet it. Yeah? So there's traditional ways that we can meet it. He could have gotten up to someone's back and said, I don't know, there's lots of things that could be done. But we've got to ask God to help us see the other ways. So if we can't see where we need to go, Lord, why have you raised this? Why have you put this burden on my heart? How do you want me to move? How do you want me to intercede? Where do you want me to go? What do you need me to do? How do you want to use me? Amen? And so that's the conversation that you need to be having with God when there's a need that's been placed upon you. Because the Holy Spirit is the one that brings revelation to the things that are not that is. Because our humanity sometimes gets in the way of God trying to move. Yeah? And that's okay. It's fine. But we do have the Holy Spirit. And being influential is not about what I can do in the situation, is what God needs me to do in this situation. When we talk about influencing the humanity with the gospel of Jesus Christ, we're not talking about how awesome am I and how well am I and how knowledgeable am I to make an impact on other people's lives. We're saying how willing am I to see what God needs me to do in the situations that he places me in. That is what it means to be influential. Yeah? And so we are all in situations and we're all in positions and we're all in places. And so there is all an area or a need or a something for us to be able to catch on to and to move in people's lives. And the nice thing that I love about God is he doesn't ask us to do things outside of our capabilities and our ability. He places things that's within our space to move. Yeah, if you don't have $1,000, God's not going to ask you to give someone $1,000. He's very awesome that way. Amen? You all right, church? So our prayer should be for God to open up our eyes to the opportunities that can meet the needs in people and not allow our mindset to block us from walking in the direction that God does. Because Zacchaeus could have easily said, that's a sycamore tree. I'm not going to climb that. Yeah? But he didn't. He climbed it. And so that's what we need to do. When God says, this is what I want to do. This is what I want you to do. That's what God wants you to do. Awesome. The next one, number three. Be willing. Yeah? Is it up there? Be willing. Being able to recognize a need and seeing an opportunity means nothing if you're not willing to climb the tree. I'll say that again. Recognizing the need and seeing the opportunity means nothing if you're not willing to climb the tree. We sometimes think of the word willing as being open-minded to a position. But the way it's used in the Bible doesn't match up with that definition. Because being willing as being open-minded to an opportunity means that there's also equal room for you to say, no, I don't want to do this. Amen? And that's sometimes how we've today used the word willing. But there's a scripture in the Bible that, and it gives us a bit of an insight into how God uses the word willing. Yeah? It's Matthew 8. Verses 2 to 3. And it says, a man with leprosy came and knelt before him, and he said, Lord, if you are willing, make me clean. And Jesus' response is, he reaches out his hands, he touches the man and said, I am willing, be clean. And the man was cured of his leprosy. The way God uses the word willing is not that there's an opportunity for me to go either way. I don't need convincing that I'm going to do this. Amen? Willing is about having the courage to do what God has all just asked you to do. It's about acting. When you look up the Greek version of this word, we love Greek versions of words, eh? When you look up the Greek wording of this word, it's called thello. Thello. And I found it quite interesting because it has all the, it has the same definitions that we kind of use when we talk about willing. Yeah? One of the most clear one is given or done readily. So again, it's not an option between do I do this or do I not. Right? It's about how you act. But it has another aspect to the word. And it says this. It adds this. To like to do a thing. To be fond of doing. To take delight in. To have pleasure in doing. So it's not just about whether I do this. It's also how we do it. And that can be real difficult to kind of like interpret when we've all got different opportunities, where we all recognize different needs, and God is asking us to do all different things. How do we then all address all these variations of ways that we can be impactful in the same manner? Yeah? But the vision or the mindset that we need to have is not around the actual physical things that God is asking us to do. It's about the impact that he's asking us to have. It's not that he said, buy this person a loaf of bread. It's the fact that you know that this step on this journey is going to be impactful for that person. And I can be whatever God needs to be in this space. And it's not running around to try and get that emotional high, because, you know, so some people that loves the emotional high of helping people in need. We're not yet to take from the need. Amen. We're yet to impact on the individual. Because who knows that in some cases, needs can be quite emotional. Yeah? And our job is not to be like, I see a need. If I do this, you're going to praise me because I've met it. That's not why we go. We're not here for praise. Yeah? We don't want to reap off other people's situations. Amen? You hearing me? Right? It's not like, if I do this, I can put this, take this picture, post this on social media, I'm going to get 500 likes, 500. I don't know if you've seen some people do that. Yeah? That's not what we're doing here. Amen? We're not yet to profit off the needs of other people. Yeah? What we are here is to be able to be that impactful moment. And so there's going to be a lot of needs. We don't have to dress it up with rainbows and candy floss and bows. We can just do what God needs us to do and move on. We don't have to make a sing, song, and dance out of other people's positions. Yeah? There's a testimony in everything that we do. And when God shares that testimony, we can sing, sing, and dance. Yeah? But our job is to meet that need in the best way for that individual. And God will guide us there if we are open to it. But we do have to sometimes tone down our pride. You all right? Talking about pride, church is going awfully quiet. But we do need to do that. Because it's not about us. As much as we sometimes like to think. And let's face it, I'll be the first to say, sometimes I like it when it's about me, but it's not always about us. Yeah? It's about the other person. It's about how God can move in that space. When we start to realize that us being willing and us being impactful and actually finding the need, finding the opportunity, and then realizing that this me meeting this need is not about that person's need being met, but it's about God being glorified in the situation. Or this is an opportunity for someone to come to know the Lord. Or this is an opportunity for someone to be more willing to come to church. Or this is an opportunity for someone just to be open to having a conversation. When all of these things start coming together and we start to realize where we fit in God's bigger picture, that should bring us joy. Amen? No, you disagree? It's quiet. That should bring us joy. Amen? Even if it is just praying for a miracle for someone, and then 2 days later we hear that this thing happened and this person is so excited. They don't know we've been praying for them, but we know we've been praying for them, so we can go to God and be like, thank you, Lord. Yeah? Sometimes we want to pray and then go to someone and say, I've been praying for you for so long. Yeah? It's about what God needs us to do. It's that middle step. It's that recognizing our position in God's bigger plan. And that position doesn't have to be, you know, I'm Mother Teresa going to India to home the orphans in Calcutta. It doesn't need to be that. It can just be where we're at. It can be that thank you, that greeting, that position that we are placed ourselves in. And so I believe very strongly that all of us Because we are all people and on this earth at this specific moment in time, and because you were all seated in this house where the vision is to influence humanity with the gospel of Jesus Christ, we all have a humanity that we can influence. We all have a now that we are working in, and we all have access to the Holy Spirit to be able to open up our eyes to the needs and situations of others. And it may not be people in the church. It could be someone that hates the church. But we could be that chisel moment knocking away. My prayer is that you can ask God to give you the courage to do the things that He needs us to do. Amen. Not just to open up our eyes to see the need, not just to open up the current, the situations that we can do, but to actually place inside of us that boldness and the courage to be obedient to His calling when He calls us to do something. Amen? Because who knows that we live in a world that needs God more than any other time in this life? I mean, the world has always needed God, but right now He needs God more than ever. And He doesn't need God to come down and to do anything. He just needs us to say, like Pastor Jace preached last week, here and now, if not when, if not then, if not you, then who? And mine is, if not when, then now. Yeah? We are privileged to be in a position where we can be used by God. I really think that that's a privilege. We are privileged to be in a position to be used by God. But I pray that we be bold enough and open enough to not just be used in the way we think God needs to use us, but in every way that God opens the door for us to be used. Because there's going to be situations where He's going to open up a door and things are not going to look the way it's meant to look like. There's going to be people that we think, I shouldn't be talking to that person. There should be situations that are different. I don't know what they are. I don't know what your now is. I don't know what your humanity is. I don't know what area you are influencing. But know that you are in that area for a reason. And there are things in their area of influence that God can use to impact people's lives. Yeah? And I'm talking about impacting people's lives for the glory of God. Yeah? And so, family, today my prayer is that each and every one of us, if we are willing, will allow the Holy Spirit to open up our eyes to see the needs that He needs us to meet, the opportunities that there is to meet those needs, and then the boldness and the courage to actually step in and to do those and experience the joy that Christ felt when He met the needs of others around Him. Because I believe that every miracle opportunity, and if you've probably been in a situation where you've done something and God's used you and you felt, yes, Lord, we did it. There's plenty more opportunities for us to partner with God. Amen. And so wherever your now is, wherever your area of influence is, your humanity is, I pray that that be your prayer. Lord, open up my eyes to see the need. Open up my eyes to see the opportunity and then give me the courage to walk in it. And if you're doing this already, praise God. Amen. Praise God. But I do believe that if we can all be influential in the now, we'd be living in a changed world. And we are the change that the world is waiting for. Amen? Why don't we close our eyes? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this morning we just want to thank You for every opportunity and situation that You have shaped and shifted and moved. For every position that You have positioned us in, for every opportunity that you open up our eyes to see the things that we need to see and to be willing and brave enough to walk into it. I thank you, Lord, that we are a spirit-led people and a spirit-led house. And we will allow the Spirit to guide us in all situations for the glory of your mighty name. So we just pray this in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone says, amen.
Give Pastor D a hand. So recognize the need, identify the opportunity, and be willing. When Pastor D was speaking, I was reminded of three stories. The first story is of a woman who was about to preach. She wore a dress, and God told her, "Hey, put some leggings on." She's like, "What? Leggings don't suit the dress." And she got ready, still wore the dress, didn't listen to the Holy Spirit. Then the Holy Spirit said again when she got out the door, "Put some leggings on." And God, she's like, "Okay, Holy Spirit, I'll listen to you." She went up, preached, and then God says, "Do a cartwheel." She's like, "What? Do what? Cartwheel?" So she did a cartwheel. And this family in this crowd stood up, and they said, "We believe in Jesus." Not knowing, her cartwheel was a prayer that an atheist prayed when he entered the church. "God, if you're real, let the preacher do a cartwheel." Things may seem ridiculous at a time, but we don't know what people have been praying. I got another story, Marcus right there. Last year, I had a catch up with his mate, his best friend who's been in high school his whole life, And he's like, "Marcus, play ups, man. He's played up all his life, done always the wrong choices, but I've been praying for him." Not knowing that Marcus came to the Lord and gave his heart to him and now fully serves him because of a prayer of a person who was willing to do it in high school. We don't know what is happening in the background, but if we identify, or if we recognize the need, identify the opportunity and be willing to step out, even though when we know it seems ridiculous, God will come and meet that need. I've got another story. If we go back to what Pastor Darren was talking about with the sycamore tree. You know, with a sycamore tree, it's a type of fig tree. Not as like a fig tree, like where God cursed the fig tree, but it was some type. It wasn't as sweet as a fig tree. But the way a sycamore tree is designed is it is designed to be like a scaffold. Think about it. Just think about it. Because you think, how does someone climb a big tree? Because it was designed as a scaffold tree. But then let's take it back. Who planted that sycamore tree? The Bible doesn't tell us. But I could picture it that probably God designed that tree to be sown in that very spot for Zacchaeus many moons later to be at this very moment to meet Jesus. Who knew at the time of the seed that it was going to bring breakthrough for a family who was a tax collector that everyone wanted to kill? Who knew? God might be asking you to sow into a place that makes no sense, but many moons later, it will bring breakthrough to someone's generation that you have never ever thought of. We can either hear what Pastor Darren says and just let it fall on dead soil, or we can have it on good soil where it will produce great fruit. When Pastor Darren was speaking, I was remembering stories after stories on how things that God uses the foolish things to confound the wise. Can I get an amen? Like, he uses the foolish things. If he could use a donkey to speak, he can use Jordan, who lives in Wanuimata. He can use Lee in Wanuimata. He can use Andrew in Wanuimata. He can use Jamie. He can use Adriana. He can use the kids at the back. Why? Because that's how God rolls. He has no favoritism to any man. He loves everybody equally. But if we can recognize the need, identify the opportunity, and be willing to step out even when it makes no sense, we don't know what a generation is coming after that. Because Marcus here, he's 31. His friend has been praying for him ever since primary school, intermediate, around that area. He just came to the Lord 3 years ago, maybe two. You know, like think about it. 15 years later, or whatever, the person who's been praying for him comes up to me and goes, "Bro, I've been praying for him my whole life. I've been believing God to meet him." And every time, he always played up. But now he's not playing up. He's a good man. but I'm telling you that story because we don't know that where the seed is sown. It may not make sense to us at this very moment, but it'll make sense later. And I'm sure there's prayer warriors in here. I know with Miss Kim, she knows too, that there's been prayers that God answered later on. It made no sense at that moment, but God met it later on. Another story, Haku. Randomly enter a church because of a call, not knowing there have been people been praying for him. Every person in this building, you were prayed for to be in this place. You may not know the person who prayed for you, but somebody prayed you to be in this place. Someone sowed the seed, not making sense at the time, but it makes sense now. Recognize the need, identify the opportunity, and be willing. Amen. Cool. So before we finish off and grab the amazing Kai, the ladies have